How are you?
Hang on, I'm going to stop you there, Raymond. Before we get going on this week's podcast, this is a little reminder, if you wouldn't mind, to rate and review at the end.
You can also subscribe so you automatically get our latest podcast the minute we put it up.
I think you mean drop.
Drop what? Did you just say it drops?
Yes, I did. The podcast drops.
Does it not land? I always prefer when you say, hit that subscribe button.
Well, whatever you do, make it easy on yourself and subscribe.
That's better.
Hello, you're listening to Jenny and Ray at Home. I'm Jenny.
I'm Ray.
And we're at home.
How are you?
I'm good.
I wasn't asking you, I was asking the listeners.
Hey! You're getting in. Oh, you held on to that all week. That wagon when she did it last week. I'm going to do the same to her next week. You did.
I thought that I pulled that off with a plum.
A plum. A plum. Where is that from now? A plum. What does that mean?
I don't know, but we do have a friend of yours gave us what she called a plum tree.
Yes, Breffni.
Breffni, yeah. And it the first year it gave us fruit. It bore fruit. And then no fruit. But it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And this year there's fruit. We've been calling them plums for a long time.
What are they?
They're damsels.
Damsels.
Now, we had damsels growing up in Kildare. They grow wild and grew wild back in the Tully. Back in the Tully in Kildare. And they're very like plums.
Okay.
People used to collect them and make damsel jam. Mm. Now, I was just looking at this morning. There are a lot of damsels out there.
But you know, you said never, you know, one year, the first year we got them and then we didn't.
Yeah.
Stanley used to eat them.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, the golden retriever.
That explains an awful lot. No wonder he got the scuts.
Like, well, he liked them. They were nice and sweet.
And it's bearing fruit this year. So I'm going out and I might even make some damsel jam.
How would you go about that now?
I think just add sugar and leave it in a big
pot. And water,
pot.
Is it? In a pot?
I don't know.
I've never made jam in my life. I wonder if it's one of those things that once you do it, you go, why didn't I do this before?
Granny Bonner used to make blackberry jam and gooseberry jam.
Yeah, lovely. Gooseberry jam. I'd love a bit of that now.
Yeah. You know, the sort of the tartness of gooseberry jam and then butter and granny's brown bread. Mm.
But you see, the thing is, I don't trust myself in nature. So even around UCD there, I saw loads of blackberries all around the place. And I was thinking it would be lovely just to go, you know, come down here with a bucket basically and just fill them in. But then I was like, are they okay to eat? Is it okay to eat those? Are they safe to eat? And I was like questioning myself. You can't bring them back, Google it. Do you know what I mean? You're presuming you can eat them unless they've been sprayed by some horrific pesticide.
Well, I've seen people pick them, and what you would do is you'd bring them home and you'd wash them.
Well, yes, you would wash them.
What I'd be scared of, though,
what
I'd be scared of is a little worm in the middle of them. Little worm.
What, you wash them?
I know, but they could be living inside one of them.
That happened to me with a scallion. This sticks with me because every time I'm cutting a scallion, I remember this. And I was cutting, and then wormy thing came out.
But it wasn't it reassuring in a way because you knew they were fresh?
Yes. But I still don't think I ate them.
I don't believe that. Now, the reason I say that is because I was in a really posh place in Ireland.
Yeah.
Which I can't name, but it's in Munster. And at a 30th birthday party or something like that.
Yeah.
And the salad came out. It was a black tie.
I'm 30th. Pretty sure you've named this place before. But
I don't think
on.
I have. Anyway, but the person I was with found a worm in their salad. And to that, the manager who'd been called by the waiter said, well, isn't it reassuring? Because at least you know it's fresh.
Oh.
I said fresh off.
You went, oh yeah, I suppose it is. But maybe you could have washed it.
I was expecting, you know, when you were a kid and you found a burnt crisp in a packet of tate and you sent them back and you got a box.
Yeah.
Like, I was expecting big things. I was expecting a sort of a weekend at least.
No.
Free.
They're paid the big bucks so they act cool. And they go, well, glad to report that it's fresh, sir. And you just go,
fresh off.
Fair enough. It's like, you know, I've never done it myself, but in the bygone days of drinking wine, you know the way if you'd take a sip and you might go, that's not good.
Yeah.
But then again, like, you don't trust yourself to go, I think there's something wrong with the wine. They're just going, no, your taste buds are just off.
But it's makey uppy anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you could be convinced if you paid enough and you're in a posh enough restaurant and the sommelier
yeah.
told you this was the nicest wine he or she had ever drank. It's amazing what the brain will do.
Of course it is. But we did that test, which we won't talk about again, because we feel sorry for that person. But I was actually, this book that I was reading, or I've been listening to, it's an audio book. Again, they went and they did that. But what they did is they put the prices on the wine. As it turns out, all the wine was the same.
Uh-huh.
But everybody went for the nice bottle, inverted commas, which was the $90 bottle of wine. Every bottle was the same and it was 20 quid.
Oh, and everybody said that was the nicest.
Yeah, they were just like, I don't know. It's not just because it's expensive. It's just, I actually just feel that it's the nicest. And they were like, no, that's not true.
That's not
what happened.
So you can convince yourself all of these things.
Yeah.
I have a blister on the palm of my hand.
Gee, that looks sore.
Yeah, and I feel really stupid every time I see it or I feel it. Because how I got it is this. So the other night, you were lighting a fire because it got to that stage in the year. So you come out and you said the lighter thing wasn't working.
We've got clicker for the fire. You know the long lighter, the clicker, it was gone.
Yeah. So
more clicky fire.
I suggested that I get some paper, hold it to the ring of the gas cooker.
Yes.
And bring it
and
in.
And run into the shiver. And I went, no, you won't, because you'll set the house on fire. That's a crazy thing.
So you went about figuring it out for yourself. Well, meanwhile,
I went and got a candle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I looked over, saw what I thought were some wooden sticks.
Yeah, just wooden sticks, just sticking out or something.
I've no idea where they came from, how they got there.
I could have told you.
What their original use was. But it was maybe the little Boy Scout in me coming out and I going, I'm going to solve this. Dib.
For my woman.
My three-finger salute. I will solve this. So I got one of these sticks, as I thought, and went about lighting it from the gas cooker. So anyway, it was taking a while, and then I turned up the ring.
As you do.
And it started to light brilliantly. Yeah. So as I walked away from the cooker, it sort of drooped at the top.
Like melted.
Well, drooped, you see, because I didn't know it was melting at the time. Held my hand out in a sort of
burning thing, hold skin out.
Yes. No. Something going to drop on the floor, hold it so it doesn't drop on the floor. And in that, yes, I discovered very quickly and very painfully that it was plastic. It was molten plastic, which fell on my palm. And there it is.
Yeah.
What, 5 days later, still there?
That is very sore looking. I'll tell you what they were anyway. You know when you get the smelly stuff for the house, you know, and you get the sticks and then you put the sticks in the smelly stuff and then the smelly stuff comes out of the sticks. You know what I'm talking about.
That's it.
That's what they were. They were extra sticks for the smelly stuff.
And they were plastic. And that was molten plastic onto the palm of my hand. I've looked it up. Do you pop a burn blister?
Oh, what is it there? Saying?
No.
Remember, you were going to do that last night. I said, that's a really bad idea to do before you go to bed.
So what happens? What happens with that then?
I think it kind of just goes soft and deflates.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm imagining things. But I feel that it's challenging my whole immune system. Bit of immunity or whatever I have in my body is
gone to there.
Yes, yeah. They're all, the boys have said alert, alert, and they've all travelled to the palm of my hand.
Is that not good?
Well, it is, only that it's taken away from everything else and it's taken a lot of energy. Anyway, it's there. It's quite ugly. It's quite ugly.
Yeah, but it's on the palm of your hand. You can't see it, but it looks very painful. I have said that now 6 times.
Yeah, and then you get if you were out and about and you were 21 or something like that, and you went to the pub with the lads. And
oh,
you went,
my hand. Oh,
I have a blister. How did you get the blister on that? There's, he's got a blister on the palm of his hand. Oh, you know what that's from.
I wasn't thinking about it at all. I thought they were going to be all sympathetic. I thought all the lads were going to go, oh, no, that looks really painful. You were saying no because you masturbated so hard that you have a blister on your hand. That's so funny. Anyway, the candle worked.
Sorry.
The candle worked.
Oh, with the thing.
With lighting. Sorry. Why are you talking about the candle?
I thought you were still talking about masturbation.
No, it wasn't. Candles? Masturbation? What is? No? No.
And that's the old.
No?
The nun says.
What?
Comes into the dormitory and goes, okay, candles out.
What is that noise? Is that supposed to be masturbation?
No.
What?
It's the candles been popped out. Sisters, dormitory, nuns, pop out. Honestly, doesn't matter. I don't know where to go after there. I don't know where to go. I read Michael McIntyre's new biography. It's a second biography. So the first one was up to 2006, I think.
Okay.
And it was his big break. He got the Royal Variety Performance. And that was sort of the pivotal moment in his life, when he went from, guy touring clubs and cattle marts and all sorts of things to being a national comedian, and it sort of, he went into the stratosphere after that. Like, anyway, remember we saw him one night, and like, we still joke about it. It's the drawer sequence. He has, it's a man drawer and even general drawer.
Kitchen drawer.
Kitchen drawer.
Your kitchen drawer full of shite that everybody has.
Just to remind you, here's just a little bit of it. Yeah.
There'll be batteries of indeterminate life scattered through the mantle. When a battery runs out, we don't throw it away. We're too lazy for that. Just fling it at the mantle. Find a little bit of excitement next time we try to find a battery. There'll be instructions for appliances we don't even own anymore. There'll be in the mantle.
Michael McIntyre. But I took a picture of these. These are the things I found in our drawer.
Okay.
It's not necessarily a man drawer. It's just, we share the drawer, don't we? We share the drawer.
It's not a man drawer at all.
Yeah, it's a drawer in the kitchen.
And really, it's actually probably a really bad example because I have attempted to tame the drawer by putting in sections into it in order to put things in some sort of order, even though there's no order. Do you know what I'm saying? By putting sections in it, in my mind, when I open the drawer, it doesn't look as bad as if it was just a drawer with everything just flung into it.
That's part of his genius, Michael McIntyre, is that he took a thing which is universal, really. And immediately you're there.
So what do we have?
This is just a sample.
Yeah.
I have a, 1986? How long ago was that?
A million years ago.
Yeah.
35 years ago.
Yeah, 35-year-old student cards from NIHE.
Okay.
Doesn't even exist anymore. It's now DCU. Then there's a half-eaten packet of Starbursts, a scoop for ice cream.
Yes.
An oversized paperclip.
Yeah.
A little pocket radio thing. I think that's a chess piece. A stone chess piece. I think it's a stone chess piece, is it?
It is a stone chess piece.
Is that a pawn or is it a whatever? I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
And then to the most fascinating thing, well, not fascinating, but that's lovely because that has Jenny and Ray, August 24th, 2013. So that was
a bookmark, is it?
Our wedding day.
Yeah, and it's a bookmark.
Is it a bookmark?
Yeah, because it's got a tassel-y thing at the end.
All right.
All right.
It's metal.
Where did we get that?
Rectangular metal. I've no idea. I thought that was attached to the key to our hotel bedroom. You know, the honeymoon suite.
Oh.
And that's what I thought.
No, because I would have taken that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then there's this thing.
I have no recollection of taking that. Which would have been a really good idea.
As a souvenir, yeah.
Yeah. No, because I would have taken it is what I mean.
Have you never noticed that in the drawer before? No.
I don't know. I can't remember.
I have to go out and get this thing because I'm going to bring it in.
Okay.
Yeah, you talk among yourself there.
That picture that you've taken is far too organized. You place them all. There looks like a pattern there. It looks like there is reason behind all those things being in there. But obviously there isn't. So what is it?
Yeah, it's unopened.
Okay.
It's a digital.
Turn it around. I've never known what that is.
Yeah.
What is it?
Mac Ideal M50. It's nothing to do with the road.
It looks like a Tamagotchi. Do you remember those things that the kids had to keep alive?
M50 is a professional mini metronome. Multifunctional, easy to use. I've no idea why
that... A metronome?
Yeah.
For like playing the piano.
Yeah. Why would you have that?
Can I open it?
Yeah, if you can.
Why not? Yeah.
Probably needs a battery. Anyway, I'm sure you have... fascinating stuff in your drawer too.
Or maybe not. They're all quite fascinating things, in fact. Well, not all of them.
No, but the 35-year-old student card, like how they've survived till now and ended up there, I don't know.
I know, that's something that you have minded.
Yeah.
That's in the drawer.
But they've been in numerous different drawers and boxes and various things, and they've been through... I don't know, 5 or 6 different houses.
I'm amazed though that you have kept them because your mum is amazing at keeping everything. I presume she's done that for all the kids.
Yes,
whatever.
She has, yes, yeah.
And then she did send you the box.
Yeah, that's
of stuff.
Over there.
Yeah.
All the RT guides, etc., etc.
Yeah, but that's that card you've hung on to.
Yeah, well, she would never have had that in
her
possession.
That's what I mean. Yes. You, and that's unusual for you because you're not a real hanger on to stuff.
I had the equivalent of a Leap card from 1980 up until recently.
Oh,
yeah,
what?
It was a sort of a student travel card.
I'm saying this now, you're not a hanger on of stuff, right? And I've just looked up and I'm going, well, that's kind of hanger on of stuff. You've got your laminates from different things that you went to.
Yeah, there's the Eurovision.
Yeah.
And I think I have, there's that one, look.
What's that one?
Visit of the President of the United States of America.
Oh, no,
Barack
sure,
Obama.
Yeah. We spoke about May that before.
May 2011. Did we talk about that before?
Yeah, yeah, yes. We did.
I still have that cardigan.
How would you feel? You still have that cardigan. Well, that's probably a good thing. How would you feel about, because you know there was that whole, I'm not going to say campaign, but there was a, what's the word, a kind of drive for people to get rid and cleanse themselves of unnecessary stuff. I'm not talking about Marie Kondo, but you know, about minimalist living.
Yeah.
How would you feel? Would you think you'd be able to just say, just take this room, for example, right? Just, this is probably a really bad example because you're kind of connected to most things in here. But just say you had to walk out of the house tomorrow. Just go. Would you be okay leaving everything here?
I could definitely survive without it.
Yeah, but would you be okay about it? Like, do you feel emotionally attached to all, not all, but a lot of these things? Or is there one thing you go, no, I'd really want to bring that with me just to have it?
There's nothing really,
nothing.
No. I'm not that type of person.
Yeah, I don't know. I would have thought I was, but the older I've got, the less important things are.
And you know what has happened as well, and this is specific to my interests and hobbies, is that, you know, the ability to play a song that you want to hear at any particular time, yeah, as like just at your fingertips.
Yeah, yeah.
At your fingertips. You know, and the quality may not be the best. You can play it on your phone. If you're lucky enough to have a Bluetooth speaker, you can play it on that. And then if you have a bigger speaker, you can play it on that. But basically, it's the song you want to hear.
Yeah, so I suppose that way you're lucky. But even like photographs and stuff, like so many of us keep the really important ones on our phones. But
there is a lovely one there that you took this
photograph. Oh, up in Wicklow.
Yeah.
In Jouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is lovely. You and the kids walking.
Yeah.
Very naturalistic.
But the brilliant thing about it is I have my hand on Kate's shoulder.
Yeah.
Tom is holding onto her T-shirt, the rim of her T-shirt. Mm. She has her hand on his forehand. So there's a lovely connection between the three of us.
There is. That's why I will say, if I die tomorrow, there's going to be about three photographs of me because I'm the one who takes pretty much the majority of the photographs.
You're very good at it, though. You're very good at it.
I love taking photographs.
Very good at it. The other thing I learned, and it's not in the book about Michael McIntyre, was that his mother was best friends with Kenny Everett. Now, people of a certain age won't remember Kenny Everett. He had his own show and he had a number of characters that he used to do. It was a half hour sketch show.
Yeah.
And it's probably his most famous character was he dressed up as a woman, yeah, even with a beard.
Yeah. With the boobs. Do you remember the boobs?
And he's constantly fixing.
Constantly fixing his boobs. That sounds so naff, but he was actually very alternative. He wasn't mainstream at all.
At all. Yeah. And her name was Cupid Stunt.
Yeah.
It was a spoonerism.
Yeah.
And he'd be interviewed by somebody, a guest, and he'd, a bit like before she even did it, like the one what's in Basic Instinct,
Sharon Stone.
Yeah, that move. But he'd be
fling
over
his legs,
the top. Yes,
cross them over.
Yes.
And he'd go something like, "It's all done in the best possible taste."
Yeah.
Oh, so if you don't know Kenny Everett, do yourself a favor.
Look
him up on YouTube. I'm saying that I haven't seen Kenny Everett in years, so I wonder, does it travel well in time? I do remember myself and my sister just absolutely peeing ourselves laughing watching him.
Like, I see Roddy Doyle came out and he hopes that The Snapper isn't cancelled, like words to that effect.
Mm.
So you know, when you look back at things, and I was looking at something during the week which I won't specify, but I went, whoa, it was just a different time.
But like, surely the whole point is that you look at it with that eye.
Yes.
You're not looking at it with your now modern eyes with what we know now.
No, but you see, it does, it exists in the world as we know it.
Yeah,
now.
But people need to open their minds and see that the world is not just now, because they are in the now. I mean, that's ridiculous. Even Roddy Doyle happened to say that. I know exactly what he's talking about. And it obviously there are moments in the Snapper book which are dodge when you look back now. You know, the whole Mr. Burgess character and Sharon. But I mean, that book is a classic, isn't it? Like, in an Irish sense.
Did we mention before that you were in the movie?
Oh, did I tell you that? Did I ever tell you I was in the Snapper?
Now this is how it started. My dreams are brokenhearted. Did I want you?
Do you remember that? Does that bring back memories?
Of course I do.
Yes.
You, me, treadmill.
Yes. And Mairead.
And Mairead.
And a camera. And a camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have photographs.
That's from a different time as well.
Yeah. I still don't really get why we did that. I don't really understand. But I was thinking about, I know we're talking about that now, but I was also thinking about us. We were so ahead of our time with OK Go. Weren't we?
Doing a what?
Wasn't the team that we did that? You know, that we did OK Go. I mean, that's all TikTok now, basically.
Yes, yeah. Of course we were. Oh, yeah. Ahead of our time.
And if you haven't seen that OK Go, that is actually a bit of a laugh to look that up.
Yeah, you and 100,000 other people. And I think it's more than that now.
Yeah, that is great fun, now, though.
The reason I was reminded of that
yeah.
is because of this. Sort of increases your heart rate, doesn't it?
What is that?
Now, you wouldn't in any world, right, on any planet, connect that to Nevin Maguire. But there is a very strong connection to Nevin Maguire.
Okay.
That was the first record he bought. We had him in on Friday there.
He loves that stuff. That is full, what is that now? Full on what? Like
it's not that hardcore, but it's yeah.
It's fairly hardcore to me now.
He loves that dance stuff. We had him in during the week with Dex. And I'd brought in that, you know, Love Can't Turn Around, and we were going to do, and it, actually when it got to 4:15 on Friday and I realised we were on Radio 1, but maybe this isn't such a good idea.
You should have done it.
We did a bit of it, but not much.
If
not
it feels
much,
like you yes. shouldn't do it because you're on Radio 1, you should definitely do it.
That's fair.
That's
enough.
My advice.
That's fair enough. Yeah. Yeah.
But you're weeping following Nevin, or at least I have anyway.
On Instagram, yeah.
Yeah, on Instagram. And yeah. he's brilliant. He loves it. Like, if he wasn't doing what he's doing, I reckon that would have been his complete. I know he did DJ, but he would have kept doing that. You can see in him when he's doing it that he absolutely loves it.
I wonder, did that happen to a lot of people during lockdown, that they rediscovered old hobbies?
Hobbies, yeah.
Things that they'd locked away in the attic, literally and metaphorically, and now they had time on their hands and they sort of went back to it.
Well, definitely. I definitely think so. I just think people taking up hobbies in general. Because there was that other thing as well that came out. You know, it was like people going, just because you're doing hobby, you don't actually have to be good at it. Do you know? No, that's okay. Like, as in, it's absolutely fine to do your hobby and be fairly shy at it. It's not like you're going to be, you know, showing it anywhere. It's just you and your hobby. Yeah. Do you want me to read you a couple of emails?
Do, please.
Yeah. Okay. These come into jennyandrayhome@gmail.com. Guys, Ray talking about Old Spice, which you were, remember last week, and smelling like his dad. Mm. It brought me right back. We used to buy my dad high karate aftershave. Do you know that?
High karate. There was high karate. There was blue stratus. Actually,
I know blue stratus. Never heard of high karate.
Yeah, there was high karate.
Okay.
Blue stratus. I remember it was, you got it free when you bought a pair of Wrangler jeans. Did some sort of co-promotion.
That's really funny because I was just about to say, I think of jeans when I think of that.
Yeah, and I worked in a drapery shop which sold Wrangler jeans.
Okay.
As opposed to Levi's. They were in competition with each other.
Yeah.
So at the time, if you sold Wranglers, you couldn't sell Levi's.
Oh.
And at the time, Levi's were the...
Levi's were always the cool ones. Wranglers were always a bit...
I think Wranglers are... Wranglers. I think Wranglers have overtaken Levi's
Now. I wouldn't know now.
Yeah. Anyway, so I had loads of blue stratus at one session. You could smell me from 100 metres.
Anyway, Gary said, we got it in the Apollo shop on Moore Street every Christmas. It was a talc and aftershave set. And to his credit, he wore it because we bought it for him. It was the cheapest thing, but great memories.
Hi, karate.
Great to have you guys back. That comes in from Gary. Thanks a million, Gary. And this came in from Anne. She says, hi, love the podcast, especially the one a few weeks ago. It was related to the discussion on what you're allowed to comment on. You were talking about bee-stung lips. And then Anne says, it's really important to let people have opinions, disagreements, points of views, so our kids learn that it's okay not to have everyone on your side or that they all agree with you. That is life.
Yeah.
I think that's a brilliant point, Anne. Thanks a million. And Kathleen sent an email in to jennyandrayhome@gmail.com. She said, only found out about your podcast by Ian on Ray's show. So Ian put it out on your show. And Kathleen said, I'm listening back now. It brings me back to the old days. Such laughs.
We're bringing the self-promotion, aren't we?
Yeah. Thanks a million, Kathleen. That's brilliant. So if you want to send us emails, we love getting them. Yeah,
that's how bad we are at self-promotion, that Kathleen found out from Ian Dempsey.
I know.
Not us.
Yeah.
What do you think? Because I was talking to somebody about this, like we could video this and then post up little video clips.
What?
That's an option.
You know my opinion on that.
A lot of them do that. A lot of them do that.
But I still don't get it. I still don't get it. Do you remember back in the day when we, now this is years ago in Today FM, they were trying to get into that. And I know loads of the radio stations do. And I just go, what? It's radio.
Yeah.
The beauty and joy for me of radio or a podcast is the fact that you don't see. That's the magic. Do you not think?
Yeah.
Are you, well, I know people are probably going, you're so behind the times. No, but I don't see what the visual does for it.
Well, a 30-second visual. Not okay. That you sit through the whole half hour.
Okay.
So we would have to obviously video the whole thing and hope that there's a moment of magic there.
Okay.
And then...
Well, would you not be better off doing like a promo video and then sticking that up? Because I understand that. It's great that we're having production meetings on the podcast.
Some things never change.
Yeah.
Some things never change.
Anyway, we'll talk about it.
Listen, a sad week because the world said goodbye to Chieftain's lead man, Paddy Maloney.
I know.
I was a big fan of Paddy Maloney.
Yeah.
I remember I was at a wedding years ago and it was up around Carlingford Lock somewhere. And he was there because he knew the bride. And I just love the fact that he arrived in his big Mercedes car. It was an old one.
Yeah.
And do you know when you arrive at the hotel that everyone has a glass of champagne or whatever? And we're all, it was a lovely day. Everyone was standing outside, you know. Bride looks lovely. Ooh, it's great. And next thing I spotted Paddy coming out with a cup of tea in his hand.
Yeah.
And he walked back down to the car. And he sat in the car with his cup of tea.
He sat in the car.
Drinking his cup of tea.
Aww.
But so he was on the TV show on the occasion of John Sheehan from the Dubliners' 80th birthday party. And I'd never heard this thing, but the two of them told this story about this thing, this method of learning music and writing music. The first voice you'll hear now is late Paddy Maloney.
You know, we have this system, by the way, that Christian Brother taught us, tonic solfa. The do re mi, you know.
Right.
And John's an expert at it, and that was my system, and still is, in fact, to this day.
What's it called?
Tonic solfa.
Tonic solfa.
Solfa, yeah.
Right.
You know the way you just get do re mi fa sol la
ti re do do ti do re mi fa sol la ti do la ti do la sol mi do mi re re mi fa sol mi do mi fa la ti re do do ti do re mi fa sol la ti do la fa re do do ti do sol mi do sol mi si do sol mi si do re mi re do ti do sol re sol mi sol fa sol mi sol re do ti la sol fa mi re do mi si do sol mi si do re mi re do ti do sol re sol mi si fa la ti re do do.
That makes me smile so much. Anyway, may he rest in peace. Paddy Maloney. Now, that's about it.
Is it?
Yeah.
We've run out of time.
We've run out of time.
Oh,
run out
my.
Of time. Yes.
Doesn't time fly when you're having fun? That's it. Nothing else to say. We will talk to you next week.
I'm going off to get a battery for my metronome. I don't know what I'm going to use it for. And we'll talk to you next week. Mind yourselves.
Bye.